This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Frida Liu.
We're discussing whether or not social media companies should police the content on their platforms because Twitter have published their rules for world leaders, including what types of tweets won't be allowed. They don't discuss the actions of any specific world leader, but the company said it wanted to better explain why it makes moderation decisions when reviewing controversial posts from political figures. I think we know who they're pointing the finger at. But, you know, no names mentioned. We do have another WhatsApp message.
Yes, this is from Eugene. He says, "Oh, Rich, many shout-outs to you."
Thank you.
"Also, I think what Frida says totally makes sense." Frida always makes sense. Anyway, terrorism started because of a protest that spiraled really quickly, and without the proper initiative and actions taken to curb them, it'll spark serious case of terrorism. However, without even understanding concerns of the protesters, who are we to say what they promote is right or wrong?
Correct.
How do we police that?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were saying during the break. If you'd like to add your comment to the conversation, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, at BFM Radio. This is what we're discussing. Should social media companies police the content on their platforms? If you missed the beginning of the show, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. Story number two, then.
A little bit more happier.
Yes.
So this is written by Ed Fraunheim, who's a senior director of content at Great Place to Work and the co-author of the book called A Great Place to Work for All. So, yes, political economic upheaval in Latin America and the rest of the world, pressures to work 70-hour work weeks in Asia. So these are concerns about rights and responsibilities in Europe, frequent corporate restructurings in the US and Canada. So these are the things that are troubling employees. But at the end of the day, employees around the world all want the same thing in workplace, and that's trust. They define a great workplace as one where leaders demonstrate credibility, respect, and fairness. Regional differences can influence what makes a workplace great. So this is the largest ever study of a workplace culture. Surveyed 3.4 million employees across 90 countries.
Wow.
So the US and Canada, they discovered that a sense of community is vital to them. In Latin America, psychological safety, fairness at the forefront in Europe, and sustainability in work and life is central in Asia. So at best workplaces around the world, employees are thriving. Roughly 9 in 10 people in these companies are having a great experience. So again, the good news is amplified at 2019 World's Best Workplaces. So 25 global organizations led by number one ranked Cisco Systems. Okay, so they're providing great workplace culture for 300,000 people. I'll tell you the story why later. So employee ratings of the world's best have increased 5% since Great Place to Work first produced its ranking 9 years ago. The bad news, roughly half employees worldwide don't have a great workplace experience. Okay, the results are unhappiness, lower business performance, and wasted human potential on the planetary scale. We know
also
that.
Also like mental health and stuff. So like if you're unhappy at work and you have a bad workplace experience, then, you know, mental health is also
different. It affects you. So these are three companies and they're great stories, right? So of course, it's got to start off with Cisco Systems. And it was this, the CEO, Chuck Robbins, apparently 2 years ago, he had a dream. In it, Robbins visited a homeless encampment and while there, saw the faces of his pastor and his father. So when he woke up, he knew he had to take action on the homelessness that plagues San Jose in California. So the next day, he called the mayor and said, "I want to get involved in solving the problem." And since then, a search of social responsibility at Cisco. For starters, the company made a $50 million 5-year donation to Destination, which is a nonprofit group devoted to ending homelessness in the San Jose region. What has happened around for Cisconians is that in Italy, they're volunteering to teach data networking classes to prisoners. A South African employee started an orphanage in Rwanda. An Indian employee who feeds victims of flooding in the country of India. So closer to headquarters, one of the staff started an organization to help victims of sex trafficking in Oakland. She's left the company to focus on nonprofit, but Cisco continues to support her with grant money. So this is just what's happened. Now, I want to share another one. one. This is DHL, delivering with a heart, and it shows their revenues increasing. So DHL was number four on the world's best workplaces list. So they're in 220 countries and territories, and they have a program called DHL's Got Heart. So this initiative recognizes employees for their charitable work outside of their jobs, with ceremonies at the country and regional level. DHL's global head of HR says the program aligns perfectly with the company's overarching purpose of connecting people and improving lives. So what they do is that they also give out awards to their favorite philanthropy. They let employees do that. And it's not just about that. It's also an intentionally simple business strategy, according to a CEO. That formula has allowed the organization to rebound from losses in 2010. And in 2018, they've reported earnings before interest and taxes of roughly $2.36 billion.
Because they've been nice.
They've been nice. So, you know, so I mean, this is, they feel that that has led to the change in the culture, right? So we are strong believers in simplicity, keeping the main thing, and we believe that motivated people drive excellent service quality, which in turn creates loyal customers and a profitable network. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, it's not something that happened overnight. It's taken 8 years from losses to 2.36 billion, right? Then also another interesting story is out from Brazil. This is Natura. It was listed number 22 in that listing, and Natura's parent firm is Natura and Co. They own The Body Shop and Aesop, and in the process of buying Avon. So 3 years ago, their financial performance was slipping. The company's response was to double down on the power of its people, some 6,400 employees across 9 countries. So what they started to do was these development dialogues, so at least a quarterly basis, and to align the whole team to the company's overall performance. All companies now have bonuses tied to country level and company wide performance, not just individual performance, right? So it has paid off in the form of higher revenues as well as improved employee engagement levels, increased internal hiring rates, and decreased staff turnover. So he said a year and a half ago, they experimented with a novel agile approach developing products for one of its main products of cosmetics called Tododia. It meant creating a cross-functional team with employees at different job levels and giving this group authority to make decisions based on interactions with customers. It resulted in reduced time to market on product launches as well as energized employees. So they're doing this decentralized way of working across the company, less hierarchical structure and more autonomy. And it's just, I guess it's a little bit, not so much about philanthropy or whatever, yeah, but just interesting.
But like you see, when it comes down, when you look at, I guess, you know, what really defines this best workplace in whether it's, you know, Cisco or DHL or Natura and Co, right? It comes down to that two things, which is trust in terms of the company trusting its vision and employees buying into that vision as well. And then two is also just simplicity in their strategies in doing things, right? It's not overly complicated. And the reason why is because they operate with, you know, thousands of employees from around the different world and all have different cultures and different kinds of understanding and languages. Right, so what they do is keep it simple, and then you have that same vision. What I really like about Natura is that they really just they scrap the traditional annual performance evaluations for employees that included the individual performance bonuses, because so many different organizations in around the world have that thing, right? You know, your yearly KPI thing. But what if your yearly KPI is actually just your organization, your country itself, or the company itself in the global, right? And then how you've contributed to that vision. So that's what they've done, and then they're trying to make it simple and then make people happy at the end of the day. If you want to pursue this, then go ahead, and it aligns with the company's vision, with DHL. You know, look at the amount of employees that they're sending around the world and helping the ones in need, you know, whether it's a homeless in San Jose, or whether it's helping the people who are hungry in India, right? It's just letting these people to do the things that they've probably always wanted to do, but, you know, work always gets into the way.
Right.
Money is always an issue. But, yeah, you know, here's the company. You go like, you really want to do this? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's do that, because that's our vision.
And when you do it, we might be able to help you out afterwards if you decide to take it on.
You know, just, yeah. So simple things like this, I guess, you know, really kind of pushes up the happiness level, right?
And it's funny, right? Because it's nothing to do with business, like in the case of DHL, right? But it's about, but at the same time, it's all about the business. You know, we talk about the three P's, people, planet, and profits, right? So profit, yes, is one of the things. But when you take care of the people and the planet, you will come back, right? And when we stop measuring quarterly results, when you've got CEOs who are brave enough not to be measured quarterly and know that as for the long term, like just, you know, you'll hear this interview. I had a chat with Datin Mina Chia from Body Shop, and she took on this really brave initiative of removing plastic bags way back when, 2008, when people would get really angry, yeah, when she tried to do that. And she had, there's a program there where she worked with WWF. But she said it was like, she showed the results over a couple of years. It wasn't like you saw it the next quarter.
Yeah.
There were a lot of angry customers.
Yeah, for initially, sure, for sure.
But, you know, when you do the right thing and you're brave enough to do the right thing, the results will happen, you know.
Also, sticking to your guns as well to a degree, like what the guy from DHL was saying, you know, keeping strong believers in simplicity and keeping the main thing the main thing. You know, if you are a logistics company, stick with logistics, you know, because you know you do it well. Right, time for a break. Music coming up next from Tokyo Police Club with Hot Tonight. It's cold in the studio. 01878988899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to comment on the story that we're running. Should social media companies police the content on their platforms? Let us know what you think about that. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with our final story. It is lunchtime, of course. Feeling hungry? We might want to give you something to take away. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.